Blind Cool Tech, February 15, 2006.
Blind Cool Tech, the show where life,
hey y'all,
technology,
hello,
and blindness,
hello, is anyone here? I can't see anything.
Comes together.
Please welcome your host, Gary Skookan.
Hey y'all. How are you? I'm Gary Skookan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. And I hope you'll join me for the walk home while we discuss a few issues. Put my jacket on. All right, little buddy. You guys have a good one. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Gosh, it's been a long time since I've talked with you guys, and it's not been that I haven't been walking. I just, you know, when it's too cold, I don't really feel like talking while I'm walking. But things are piling up, so let's go right, little buddy. How about? Good boy. For those of you new to Blind Cool Tech, this is a podcast, and the general topic of discussion is life as a blind person. And I'm walking home with my guide dog, Jake, here. So we're going to go out the side door. It is gorgeous out here today. Let's go left. I am recording, by the way, on a the micro track, M-Audio micro track, with a new set of microphones, actually. These are the ISI-SEHM-1 Innovative Specialist binaural on-ear microphones. So these are actually quite a bit different than the others that I've been using. I've got windscreens on these, and it is a little bit windy out here, so you may catch a little wind noise. If you'll recall, I had a little trouble with the other binaural microphones in two respects. One, home, buddy. What about you? Have a good evening. Yep. Good boy. That's it, buddy. All right. We're crossing State Street. And that, for those of you that don't know, is a locator tone on an accessible crossing signal. Back to these microphones. These are the ones with the, if you look on the Sound Professionals page where we got these, soundprofessionals.com, they are using the higher-end Audio Technica, I believe it's called. microphones, and they're substantially different than the in-ear binaural microphones, because these actually have a piece that really does go around your ear like a pair of glasses would hang on your ear. So they're quite comfortable to wear, and they seem very stable, and you can shape them to your ear. Now, I have these pointed out a little bit, so probably look like I'm wearing horns. They're about an inch long, maybe not quite that long, but we'll see how they do. Well, now that we've got that out of the way, we are, by the way, in Louisville, Kentucky. And that traffic you're hearing on my right is, and yes, I'm actually wearing the microphones on my correct ears. I even got one marked for proper orientation in the future. We've got about a 2 mile walk here, so hope you will kick back a little bit and or maybe step up the pace a little bit so you can join us on our walk. A couple of pieces of administration to talk about, or administrivia as Mary calls it, which I love that word. And then I want to talk about a couple other cool things. Especially if we have time, I would like to switch our pick for the ultimate portable digital recorder. I think we had been discussing the iRiver IFP 899, which is no longer available, and the much greater accessibility of the Olympus players. But I want to get to that after the administrative stuff, administrivia. Man, it is a gorgeous February afternoon. They don't get any better than this in February. Although tomorrow it's supposed to be up in the 60s. I'd say it's in the upper 50s now, in fact. First thing, the Line Cool Tech email list has been, as any of you who are subscribed to it know, a tremendous place to learn. There's some super intelligent people on there. Really nice people, and best of all, very open-minded people. And it always seems so much more stimulating to associate people who can share their points of view without getting offended when you share your point of view. And that has certainly been the case on the Blind Cool Tech email list. If, by the way, you would like to join that list, you can send a blank email to blindcooltech-request@freelists.org, and that info will be repeated at the end. We're waiting to cross Frankfort Avenue here. And you may be able to hear this traffic, this accessible traffic signal, audible traffic signal. It actually vibrates. You'll notice it gets louder when cars go by. Actually, it's the ambient noise. But anyway, inevitably, with any list, there comes some controversy at times. And I thought we were going to break up into some controversy and some heated discussion, which we had, not too heated, but when religious convictions become the topic of a message, you know, there's nothing wrong with discussing one's religion, don't get me wrong. It's just that, can you hear it vibrating there? Good boy, little buddy. It's just that normally when people discuss religion or politics for that matter, sentiments and emotions can run high. I think we had a few people quit the list, and that's certainly their prerogative. I don't want to disencourage, if that's such a word, any discussion on any topic. But at the same time, we need to be sensitive about preserving the qualities of this list that make it so compelling. And one of those qualities is the open nature of it. It's not a list just about podcasting or about technology. It's a list about life as a blind person. And in an effort to help guide the list in the right directions, I have asked, and he has accepted the position, Neil Ewers to serve as the list moderator. So now what this means is that Neil will be providing guidance, and as he points out in his introductory message, he's not intending to offend anyone if he asks you to take a discussion to another forum. It is merely a means of helping maintain cohesiveness and, well, I won't say lightheartedness, but the flavor of the list now. You know, I can't think of any other list I'm on that you can get such a variety of opinions and subjects. It's very refreshing, so I'm delighted that he's willing to do that and willing to keep it going in the same direction. He and I talked about limiting it, but you know, there are other lists that limit themselves to. Hey there. Right. How you doing? That limit themselves to podcasting discussion or technical discussions or whatever. But there's not one that is as dynamic and as open and as, well, interesting and stimulating as this one is. So I'm very glad Neil has agreed to perform this duty, and I happily turn over the reins to him. I'll certainly be participating in the list as another list member, with comments and ideas, just like the rest of you are doing. So, again, join me in congratulating and thanking Neil for taking on this responsibility. And I know he'll do a great job and steer this list into the directions that we all want it to go in. Someone on the user comment line suggested that we update our pick for digital recorders, and I am prepared to do that. For some of the reasons I mentioned earlier. Good boy, Fuller. That's it, buddy. He's a good doggy. Lots of people in traffic out today. I've always been really impressed with the quality of the recordings on the iRiver IFP 899, but a little less than static about its accessibility and its ease of use. And as we've mentioned many times on this, hello there. On this podcast, that the Olympus recorders, while not designed to be accessible, are actually inherently accessible. The problem is that, again, I've mentioned this before, so fast forward if you've heard on this. After the DS2, which had a maximum bit rate, KBPS, of 128, Olympus introduced the WS200 series, which actually dropped the highest quality setting so that it only records at 64 KBPS. And that was a little disappointing, but to tell you the truth, they're still excellent recordings. I had an email this morning from a lady that is taking a trip to Mexico and wants to record her experiences, and she's been taking an analog tape recorder. Well, I really wouldn't hesitate to recommend the Olympus series for that. I mean, there's something to be said about always having it with you and having it so that you know what it's doing. So, without any further ado, I hereby declare that the new Blind Cool Tech digital recorder of choice for the inexpensive, all-around portable recorder is the Olympus WS320M. Now, Mary Emerson did a review of this recorder for Blind Cool Tech. Oh, probably a month or two ago when it first came out. And I'd just like to add a few things to that. And tell you some of the things I've been doing with the WS320M. Over the last month or two that I've had it. First, let me just go back over the description with you. If any of you have seen the WS200 series, this is very similarly shaped, but it's quite a bit easier to use, actually. I found the buttons on the WS200 a little too small for my taste. And Olympus is pretty well taken care of that with this design. This still uses the pull-apart methodology where you pull the recorder apart into two pieces, and it exposes a USB port that connects directly into your PC. So it's very easy to transfer your files back and forth. It does record in WMA format, so you may or may not like that. I'm not a particularly big fan of it, but it's okay. Again, I encourage you to check out Mary's podcast because she covered it very thoroughly. And I just want to add that I've been using it as a recorder and a device for taking notes, just like I used to use the old cheapo Olympus one, and also for doing podcasts. So with this 1 megabyte of memory on this thing, as far as I know, at least today's date, it's one of the digital recorders with the most amount of memory on the market. Good boy. Over. That's it, little buddy. Good dog. Okay, we're crossing Viewing Avenue here, fairly busy street. Good boy. My girlfriend has been taking a couple of online classes. She wants to go back and get her degree. And so she's taking a English composition and a math class online. And this is something we really have got to talk about sometime on BCT too, because things have really changed since I was in college. And I think this online method of obtaining college credits or gaining knowledge anyway is very cool. The one thing I don't like about it is that there are no lectures, and I thought that was a very valuable part of my college experience. But I digress. The thing that really impressed me about this WS320M is that I've been using it to record as Liz reads chapters from her book or stories from it. I can record them, and the recording is so much superior to anything we had when I was in college. And, you know, the size of the device, as Mary mentioned, it's what, 1.5 inches by maybe 4 inches tall, maybe 5/8 inch thick. And the built-in microphones on it are perfectly adequate for recording that kind of thing. In fact, normally you would probably want to switch it over to mono. And you can do that. I just leave mine on stereo all the time. Of course, with mono, you're going to get twice the record time. But I haven't really found that to be, that is, the record time to be much of an issue on this device. Now, as Mary mentioned, as you're looking at this device, on the left side are two slide switches. The one closest to the bottom is your MP3 switch, and when you slide it up, let's see, probably can't hear this out here, it beeps, lets you know it's in MP3 mode. Most of the time we're going to use it in the down position for the traditional recorder mode. And then the slide above that is the lock switch, so you slide it down to unlock it. Now on the right side of the unit, right edge, are three buttons from top to bottom, record, stop, and play. So if you hit play, and stop. The unit does have a built-in speaker, of course, and I never will forget how disappointed I was in the first Olympus, well, I'll call it higher-end digital recorder I got as a result of thinking what I was hearing from that speaker was the kind of recording I was getting. Nothing could be further from the truth. That speaker is very handy, though, for just, you know, making sure you're recording something or just listening to brief passages. But to do it justice, you need to put some earbuds into it and listen to it that way, or get the file over to your computer. Jake, up, up. Good boy. That's it. Another dog there. On the face of the unit is a typical five-way button with your arrows and enter in the middle. And then on the bottom left and bottom right of that are two other buttons that Mary covered in her podcast, so I won't bore you with that information right now. But y'all excuse me, I'm gonna stop in here and get a bag of coffee. But the long record time on a single AAA battery and the massive amount of memory in this thing really made it an invaluable tool. Let's see, I lost track of, I think I'm in the right block here. I have to go by my smell. So there's a pizza place and then the Tiny Brothers Coffee. I think this one, let's go right here, Jake. Is this it? I believe it is. Yep, I smell the coffee now. Good boy. Hi there. I'd like to get a, I guess you don't have pounds of coffee, it's just like 10-ounce bag or whatever.
We have 3/4-pound bags of beans.
Okay, yeah, I want to get one of those. Okay. I want to try something new. And I like Colombian. You got anything that's rich like that?
Hang on just a second. What's something that's close to Colombia?
Okay. Yeah. So what is it? Somalia?
Sumatra.
Sumatra.
Or there's a Guatemalan one there too.
I'll try the Guatemalan one.
Okay. Would you like it ground?
Yes, please.
Okay. Or just a regular auto drip?
Yeah. Sit a little bit. Yes, sir. Sit down, Vic. Good boy.
You want anything else?
Nope, that'll do it.
Okay. Are you in the bean club?
No.
If you frequently, you get your 15th bag free.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, let me grab a card. I just need your name and your address.
Larry Skutcan, Skutcan. And it's 203 Pleasant View.
Pleasant View.
Uh-huh.
And that's in Louisville.
Yeah, 40206.
Okay.
Go ahead and keep the change on that.
Alright, thanks.
Alright, thank you.
Hope you enjoy it.
I will. How about? Let's go outside. Good boy. Oh, this smells really good. Good doggy, little buddy. Jake points to the door handle. That's it, everybody. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I don't normally buy it ground up, but Dan on the list has convinced me that this cheapo $10 grinder I have is not the best way to enjoy this coffee. So, until I get a grinder, I will just use theirs. I also bought interesting little device as a result of Dan's espresso, or as I say, expresso, podcast. And that is an Italian coffee pot. It's supposedly the next best thing to espresso. But the reason this even came up is we were kind of looking at espresso machines, and Liz saw, a pot that they use in where she goes to Bolivia. She goes there every couple of years and does some volunteer. Good boy. Dentistry work. And what this pot is it just makes about a 16-ounce cup of coffee, but it's it unscrews apart into two halves and fill the bottom half up to the little pressure release valve, I guess it is, with water, and then put your filter. It's just a metal tube that connects to the bottom of it, and pour your coffee into that, and then screw the top half on, put it on the stove, and it steams through the coffee, and so the water that's in the bottom all ends up in the top eventually and goes through the coffee, of course. Very, very good. I haven't like I say, I haven't tried a true espresso machine yet. From what I've read on the internet and heard, this is pretty close to the ultimate in the flavor of coffee. So that's been kind of fun to play around with. Man, this coffee smells so good. I got it in my jacket pocket and I get whiffs of it. So what I've been doing is putting this in an airtight container and keeping it in the refrigerator So I think that helps preserve the freshness of it. I actually ordered a couple of bags of coffee from this place called coffeefool.com. I can't remember where I found this, but you know, they talk about how the stuff you get in the grocery stores is weeks old, and theirs is just days old. Got a couple bags of it, and I just was not impressed. Now, I had ordered coffee from, I believe it's called Pete's, online a few times, and it was always good. So I kind of doubt I'll be ordering any more from Coffee Fool. Maybe I was suffering from disappointment. I was really expecting something a lot more than what I got. But the coffee I've bought from Jaime Brothers there has always been good. Alright, here we've got a detour. So we're actually walking out in the street. And this has been this way for at least a week and a half. This whole block is taped off. They actually have put up a temporary fence here and a kind of a detour for pedestrians that goes out in the street, but there is a fence between me and the traffic here. At least there was. I assume it's still there. Boy, talk about the smell of coffee. Lynette, I think it was on the list, has brought up the topic of the olfactory senses, and I have always been really sensitive to smells and really appreciative of good smells. But good boy. That's it, little buddy. Good boy. Alright, we're out of the detour. Good dog. And at the same time, I'm really sensitive to bad smells, too. For instance, I cannot wear any kind of clothes after buying them without washing them first. Dyes in the clothes, I guess. They don't really smell. Hey, great, how are you doing? They don't really smell that bad to me, but they give me the worst migraine. It's just, I don't even try anymore. Same way with some kinds of cologne. If I wear any kind of cologne at all, I can't put much on or it tears me up. And frankly, I don't really even like most of the cologne out there. I think it was Mary that mentioned some of the scents she uses, and I'm really interested in checking those out. I love the natural scents. In fact, my daughters used to have lemon body wash that I really enjoyed, and lemon lime, I guess it was. But as far as some other pleasurable scents, cedar takes the cake on it. When I lived in Texas, our house had cedar closets, and it was just such a pleasure every morning to put your shirt on and have that fresh smell that it's hard to describe. Apologize for the wind noise here. If there is any, I'm not really monitoring this recording, but it's definitely windy. As soon as I turn that corner there. So we're walking directly into the wind now. So, I was interested in lining my closet here with cedar. Unfortunately, Liz does not like the smell of cedar. She thinks it smells like an animal cage or something. So I lined my closet with it just to make her happy. I went to Lowe's and bought a sheet of cedar. I think it was probably like less than a quarter inch thick. It's 4x8, you know, regular sheet of plywood size. And used that to line my closet. And I can't tell you what a pleasure it is every morning to put on some clothes, especially if they've been sitting in there for a while, that have that great scent to them. And, I hope that guy was going to turn on us. Good boy. Crossing a fairly busy street here. Good doggy, though, buddy. I bought a bedroom suit here last year or the year before. And the drawers in it are lined with cedar, too. So, it's really, I just can't express enough what a great, great smell that is. And you know, I've noticed, who was it I met? I saw over it. Whoa, somebody's looking. Wait a minute, we knocked it. Your phone, the microphone. Let me fix that. Didn't lose the windscreen at least. Alright. Back on. Good boy. It was my good friend Bob Peters. You know what, Jack? Let's just move this trash can for these people. There. So if they decide not to move it tomorrow morning, we'll be in shape. Sometimes that guy leaves his trash can there all week. So, helping him out by getting it off the sidewalk. I noticed he had the scent of cedar on him. It's funny how you can catch that. But some of the smells, I think we could go on a long, long time about smells, but I'll just mention one other one. And that is the little town where I was born at in Nebraska, in Crete, Nebraska, has a corn mill there. So the whole town smells like popcorn all the time. And it's great to go there and have that scent in the air. You never get tired of it. Well, we have turned onto our street and heading up the stairs on our walkway to the house, so I will bid you all farewell, and I look forward to chatting with you all more on our walks. We're going to try to record a nice chat like this at least once a week or so. Well, I could leave the door open. Yeah, Jakey's a good boy. Hey, Fredster. What's up, big dude? Huh? Don't lick me in the face. All right. Maybe this coffee smells good. All right, I want to thank you for joining us on this edition of Flying Cool Tech. Be sure and tune in next time for another boring but exciting and relaxing talk as well. Y'all take care. Good talking.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com. www.thesatasan.com. And our comment line is 206-984-9203.
There you go, boys. Good doggies.